art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we say thank you. We say thank you. And we even know that this morning you are set to do mighty things in our lives. And we thank you ahead of that as well. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, we worship and everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's be there this morning. Thank you. Glory to God. We want to thank the Lord this morning. We want to appreciate God for all he has done for us in the past 4 years. Praise God. Because we are 4 years old. If you want to clap, go ahead and clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we just want to appreciate God. It's been wonderful in the last 4 years. Today is Mother's Day. Praise God. We have to announce, even though they have several Mother's Day in 1 year, there's only one Father's Day. Today is Mother's Day, so we're going to be praying for all mothers at the end of the message. We are also going to be praying for all intending mothers in the next 1-2 years. Those who are getting married in the next 2 years, we pray for them. And then we pray for all the ladies, generally speaking, at the end of the service. Praise the Lord. We also have one of us, a couple here. Both of them are members of this church. They just got married. Praise God. So this morning also, after the end of the message, they will be having their thanksgiving. Amen. All right, so let's quickly get into God's word. This morning I just want to tell a story. It's 4 years, and I really don't feel like preaching. Praise God. So I want to tell a story. But before you say, is this story we come to hear in church? Let me give you a scriptural justification for what I want to do. I like to give us scripture for everything I do. Exodus 10:1-2 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him." Now look at the next verse 2. He says, "And that thou mayest tell in the ears of your son, and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord." In other words, it is in order to recount and tell the stories of where we are coming from. A lot of us joined this church this year. Some of us even joined this month. Some of us last month, last year. And we don't know anything about Shouts of Grace Center. Where are they coming from? Why did they say they are Shouts of Grace Center? What kind of a name is that? What are they doing? What's their vision? What's their mission statement? Our vision is right there. If you take a look to this side, our vision is raising generations of men and women who are passionate for God. And our mission statement is to equip you and I in God's purpose by the move of the Word and the Spirit. All right. But I want to tell us a story of where we came from. Where did Pastor Dunamis came from? Did he fall down from heaven? What of Pastor Sophia? Okay, I want to tell us a story. It's a summary, really. But you are going to have a picture of what Shadow of Grace is all about and God's dealing with us. You see, it's important that you walk in God's plan all the days of your life. Because the times will come when you will have to gather your children's children, and tell them stories of God's dealing in your life. And sometimes when you are sermonizing them and preaching to them, they are not getting what you are saying. But you begin to tell story, practical story. This is what God did. This is what God did for us. Then they begin to understand that God even rules in the affairs of men. Hallelujah. Let me give you another scripture, because the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. Go to the next slide. He said, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? What is shout of grace center? What is it?" He said, "That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." In other words, you will recount the story. Go to the next slide. In Joshua 4:21-22, we see a taught scripture saying the same thing. "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land." So somebody going to say, what is it about this tent? Yeah, there's a story behind it, praise God. And the story behind it will inspire you, are you following me, and build your faith. Glory to God. All right, go to the next slide. Let's see another scripture in Psalm 44, verse 1. He said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old." If you are a member of this church, you are part of this family, it's important you know the story behind Shouts of Grace Center. It's always going to be an inspiration to you. It's just like when you are part of your family, your biological family, it's important to know where your dad is coming from. How did God help my dad? How was he able to go to school in the midst of all the difficulties? Those stories will spur you on to even do more than your father has done. Are you following me here? Go to the next slide. Psalm 78, verses 3-8. He said, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children." Can you see that? We will not hide them. We will not hide the stories. "Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Verse 5, "For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." These things should be made known to them, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which will be born, we should arise and declare them to their own children as well, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8. Is that okay? That's the last verse there. So we understand how this thing works, and I'm going to be telling us a story of where we came from. Go to the next slide. It all began in 1990. All right. 1990. And I just finished secondary school, Ijebu, the grammar school. That was the school I attended. And for 1 year I was at home, not because I failed JAMB or anything, but that particular year it was just experimental. That was the first year they said we should stay at home for 1 year for no reason. So we're at home, and there was really nothing to do. So I had this friend who was really born again and was working with God. So he often come call me and say, "Let's go to fellowship." So I began to get closer to God. So I started reading my Bible. I started getting interested in the things of God. So one of those nights I had a vision, and in the vision I saw a rapture the vision of rapture taking place. I saw graves split open. I saw dead bodies rise up from the graves. I saw them moving up. Just like the Bible describes, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We shall exchange this mortal body for immortality. And so I saw the vision of rapture, and so I was wondering, all these people going up, I'm supposed to go up to. So I started jumping up. But I was landing back, jumping up and landing back. So out of frustration, I just waited. So, all of a sudden I looked up and the sky split into two. And I saw Jesus Christ. And he descended from heaven, very slowly descended, and then he was standing just like 4 or 5 feet away from where I was. And he didn't say a word, but I knew that was the time I was called to ministry, because as I stood before him, this is the way I can describe it. His eyes, as I looked into those eyes, his eyes were rolling. It was just moving. It was rolling. And it looks as, the way to describe it, like when you are looking into a very deep hole that goes far away and you can't see the end of it. It's limitless, depth in those eyes. It was the eyes I focused on. And those eyes were just moving like that. And I saw these waves. It was like transparent. It was transparent, but I saw them. Just like smoke, something like that, you know. But it was like glory kind of stuff. And it was coming from those eyes and was hitting me. So it was hitting me in that vision. I began to weep. I wept and wept and wept. Why I was crying, I don't know. But those things were doing something to me. And I wept and wept and wept until I came to myself. And that was the time I believe God called me. But I didn't understand the vision, so I did nothing about it. That was 1990. Praise the Lord. 1991, I gained admission to university, forgot about the vision, and forgot about the dream. I was just generally unserious, playing football, where they are holding fellowship. You know, there's a pavilion, and then there's a field. Under the pavilion, they will be holding their fellowship there, and I would deliberately kick the ball into their fellowship meetings. And all of that was happening. Praise the Lord. All of that was happening. And so, 1990 was when the vision came, but I did nothing. I was just unserious. Around 1994, 95, go to the next slide, I rededicated my life to Jesus. I met in the hall, there's a pastor there. He's also like my classmate, but he was born again. Knew a lot, so he was our pastor, and he was our fellowship pastor. Please let remember to come. He was our fellowship pastor, and he taught us, and then I began to get closer to God. That was when I rededicated my life to Jesus at that point in time. And at that point in time, I remember, like, the vision came back to me, and the hall where I was living then, my pastor then, who was also a student, identified the grace of God, you know, over my life. He called me aside and said, "I think you are called." That was the first time I'm hearing the word called. I think you are called, and I think you should pay attention. There's something special about you. So after that moment, what I noticed was, the healing anointing came upon my life. I didn't understand it, but he's been giving me some books to read. So I was reading after Kenneth Hagin. And so exactly what Kenneth Hagin described in his book became my experience. So I would just all be in my room, and then my palms would grow very hot. Would grow very hot. And I didn't understand what was going on. And the next thing that began to happen is that when people fall sick, I didn't announce, I didn't tell them anything, I didn't tell them my experience. Somehow, they would bring them to my room. And I would pray for them, and they would get healed. Now pray for them. And this was happening every other day. I came to a time, students were asking me to follow them home to pray for their parents at home. It was such a strong anointing of God upon my life. And yet I didn't understand calling, all those things. I didn't understand all the details. But that was my experience. So for the first time, I began to think, oh, maybe there's something special about me. So I read the more, researched the more, especially the materials of Kenneth Hagin, delved into it, and began to understand what it means to be called. Now this book, Following God's Plan for Your Life, helped me a lot. If you haven't read that book, please go read it. Following God's Plan for Your Life, I've Come to Visions and Revelation. All these books are by Kenneth Hagin. Extremely powerful books. And then The Triumphant Church, that talks about demonology and all those things. Powerful books. Those were my experiences in Ogun State University then. And so at that point in time, I came to understand God more and get closer to God, and it was such a beautiful experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we put hands together for Reverend Bildu Akitao? Let's just welcome him. Praise God. All right, so now by 1996, go to the next slide. 1996 was when I proposed to Pastor Sophia. We were in the same hall. You didn't clap since, Pastor Sylvester. Wait. You did not clap since. I said I was called. I saw vision. I saw Jesus. You did not clap. I said I propose. You are clapping. How can people be so carnal like this? All right, so 1996. Yeah, go there. That was me around that time, and this was Pastor Sophia. Alright, now this particular picture, no, go to Pastor Sophia. This was exactly, you know, how she looks, you know. And you shouldn't blame me when you see this kind of babe, beautiful babe like this, alright? Alright? You. She has just that calm, angelic, you know. Thank you, you will do well too in Jesus' name. Go to the next slide. Okay, so that was, this was some years after. Go to the next slide. Can you switch off this light so that it can enhance the, I don't need the light. We don't need the recording really. I'm not going to do anything with this recording. I'm telling the story. So that was that. Now, 1998, 1997, I graduated 97, 91 to 97 for a 4-year course. No extra year. I was brilliant, praise God. But there was strike every year. They call it stroke in those days, not strike. And the past tense of strike is stroke. We had strike one time, it was 9 months. Those are the kind of strikes that happened in their bachelor days. It was bad. So I ended up spending 91 to 97 in school. At the time we had a strike, came back to school, all of us, we didn't know where to start from. Some people have been put in the family way. Some have gone to start work as dry cleaner, driver. I mean, it was that kind of stuff. So between 98 and year 2000 was my first pastorate. I was posted to serve in Delta State. And that year they said nobody will be redeployed. But supernaturally, I was redeployed. And so I came back to Ogun State University and I started my first pastorate called Vision Alive Network. All right, that was my first pastorate between 98 and 2000. 99, go to the next slide. 99 was when we got married. Of course, you are familiar with wedding pictures. These are wedding pictures. Go to the next slide. That was Pastor Sophia. You see how slim she was? This was my best man. See my white suit like Benny. Go to the next slide. Okay, so now, after our wedding 99, 2000, I knew God wanted us to come to Ibadan. Are you with me? So we came to Ibadan, year 2000, and go to the next slide there. Okay, when we came to Ibadan, I didn't know which church I'm going to attend. So, my wife and I, where are we going to worship? What are we going to do? We don't know. Are we going to start church? No idea. So I knew Reverend Femi Oduwole. So that was easily the place to say, let's start attending. So in the meantime, you know, I had this, what do you call it now? Printer, laptops, no, not laptop, computers, color printer, laminator, all those things. Okay. So I went to collect a shop in Preboy shopping complex and put all those things there. And I put it there and I told God, I have pastored enough. That's 98 to 2000. 2 years. I said, I've pastored enough. Now we need to make some money. So I got a shop in Preboy shopping complex and put all those things there. And the experience was bad. The experience was bad because I would go there and open the place up. Morning till evening, there will not be a single soul that will come to do anything. Not even one page something to come and do. Nothing. Then when I knew that this was God orchestrated, it's not the devil, was when somebody will be passing and then will stop at the window and look into the place. I say, wow, this is beautiful. You just open this place, I will say yes. Wow. And I saw the project in his hand that he wanted to type. And I'm happy that, oh, praise God. And he said, this is such a beautiful place. And then he will move to the next place to go and do his work. And that happened a couple of times. So I went back to pray. And God said, I didn't ask you to go open a shop. You are supposed to work in ministry. Okay, where do I work? That very night, I had a vision. In the vision, I saw myself sitting on a dining table with Reverend Femi Oduwole and his wife. And he was serving us in our plate. So I understand what that means. When somebody is serving you your drink, that's your pastor. He's serving you spiritual food. So I woke up, and that's how we joined Triumphant Assembly in the year 2000. 2003, Reverend Femi Oduwole moved to LALA and left that particular branch in Agbo for me to pastor. All right, move to the next slide. These were the kids around 2005, 2006. I move to the next slide. Okay, that was me around that time. Okay, move to the next slide. That's Pastor Sophia. Move to the next slide. Okay, this place, where we were using for church, where Reverend Femi Oduwole handed over us, became too small for us. We're running three services. So we trusted God, and then we moved to this place. This is a bigger place within Agbo Shopping Complex. We moved there. Within a space of 24 hours, God gave us over ₦1 million to pay the rent, buy ACs, and do all of that. So we moved in here, thinking now we have a beautiful space. But the moment we moved there from three services became four services. Or even more people came. Okay, so it was just an explosion. That was myself and Pastor Sophia in that same auditorium. Go to the next slide. Alright, so around 2007, I'm telling you the story that led us into Shadow of Grace. Are you following me? Alright. 2007, we began what we call Kisses and Hugs Club. That's what we know as our online ministry today. An outreach to singles and married people. And 2007 was when we started. Let me also announce to us that from this year, God spoke to us, we'll be starting another organization under Kisses and Hugs Club. Which is like NGO, particularly to secondary school students and to the female gender. You know, Kisses and Hugs Club was actually registered as NGO, but we've not operated that side of it. We've just been operating from the side of ministry. But from this year, we're going to move on to the NGO and really impact our immediate society, especially all those young ones, you know. Beautiful. All right. So 2007 was when we had mega conference. Let me show you some pictures there. This was 2007 CBN All in UI. We had close to 800 attendees there. It was 2-day meeting. Remember, like, I was in that meeting, I remember. This was in Lautech. This is Mrs. Fatokumbo. So it's not today that she started crying. She always cried when under anointing. I remember when I went to minister in Lautech then, she was part of the people that waited for me in the hotel where I was lodged. So when she came to that hotel to serve, she was serving my food. I forgot this. It was one that reminded me. So, serving our food. So I said, oh, how are you? What's your name? She said, doing. I said, oh, good. I'm going to preach at your wedding. And I just said that. So, 2016, later, many years after, this was around 2011 or so, there about. 2016, when we started church, something brought her to Ibadan, and something brought another man also to the church. And the man that came joined protocol department, so he was always standing behind me. And when the person standing behind pastor proposes to you, you really want to consider it. So that was how they got married. And I did preach at a wedding. Praise God. All right, so this was also Lautech, one of the meetings. Go to the next slide. Yeah, in our meetings, we always see the vision, move of the word and the spirit. That's always what it is. After preaching and teaching the word, there's always a move of the spirit. People are always delivered. Lesbianism, homosexuality, pornography, masturbation, sexual sins. There's always a move of the spirit. And God will, you know, move in his power. Okay, see some of the pictures there. This was characteristic of almost all our meetings. Praise the Lord. All right, move on. This was Trenchard Hall University of Ibadan, 2008 mega conference. Alright, go on. That was with Reverend Femi Oduwole, attended one of the meetings. Go on. Alright, that was Dunamis and Dukes are doing a, what do you call that thing? Choreography. Alright, go on. That was Pastor Sophia, myself and Pastor Sophia praying for someone. Go on. Alright, you see that newsletter they were holding? That was the first thing we used to publish since 2007. And these newsletters were what God breathed upon. These newsletters were everywhere. People will call me from as far as Maiduguri, Sokoto. I'm not kidding. Over this newsletter. I say, Pastor, I have your newsletter in front of me right now. There's this problem I'm going through, blah, blah, blah. And pastors were calling me for counsel and all of that. Alright? And, you know, it was that moment I began to see that I think God really has a particular assignment, you know, in this area. Go on. So 2009, we were pastoring the church, and it was beautiful. We were running five services, four services in the morning, one service in the evening. Everything was looking so, so glorious, and God said, it's time to move. I really want to cry. Because it's like you have suffered over the church, and then the church has come to a place, people are matured, we have some young adults in church. Are you following me? I've had members that have been taught over time. You know, when you first start pastoring the church, nobody really care about a pastor like that. It takes a while. When people are touched and impacted, you pray for somebody, the person get blessed, the person will give back to you. That's what the Bible says. He said, let those that are taught communicate back to those who are teaching them. So I've taught them for many years, and these people are communicating back. Are you following? We have bankers, we have medical doctors, and it was just beautiful. And then God says, time to move. So we move to Lagos. Go to the next slide. This was my sent forth program from Travel and Assembly Church in 2009. Remfemi came and prayed for us when he was releasing us. Go to the next slide. That was Reverend Victor, Reverend Nia Boda, in one of the meetings we held shortly before I left. Move to the next slide. This was also sent forth meeting. That's Reverend Femi, that's his wife, and some of the members. This guy, that guy in black suit there, was the head of prayer unit. He's the present pastor of House of the Rock, Akure, right now. Alright, go on. Okay, this was when we're in Lagos. You know, when you're not pastoring and not doing anything, you'll be taking pictures. So, I just taking pictures up and down. It was when we were in Lagos. Dunamai just skinned his head at that time, you know. So let's go on. This was also a family picture. Go on. This was Dunamai's dogs are Dunamai making air for their mommy. Yeah, go on. 2010 was when Kisses and Hugs Club came online. When we started with the website, and I mean, that's another story in its entirety. I can't tell the story right now. Okay, let me try and summarize it, because it's part of the story. I'm actually going to Shadow Grace Center. So 2010, God said, start writing devotionals. So we started. 100 people will read per day. When I look at the statistic, 100 people, 150 people, so discouraging. But we continued writing. So one of those days, somebody copied a portion of what I usually sent to people, like just a little part of it, like a paragraph. He copied it and put it on Pastor Bimbo, late Pastor Bimbo Dukoya's page, which has about 300,000 fans as at then. So I didn't know this guy put it there. So that day, I used to send it through BB, you know, BlackBerry days, BB Pin. So people were sending me requests until my phone went off. I didn't understand what was going on. Thousands of people. So I charged my phone. Calls started coming in from Germany, from US, from UK, from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar for counseling. I didn't understand what was going on. They would say, is that Pastor Bimbo Dukoya? I said, no. How can I be Pastor Bimbo Dukoya? My name is Dunamis. He said, no. I want to talk to Pastor Bimbo Dukoya. I said, I'm not the one. I will cut the phone. And I said, well, Pastor Bimbo Dukoya. Then I now went to check the page, and I saw what the guy put there. It has been over 4,000 shares, over close to 6,000 likes. It has gone viral. I think God just deliberately breathes upon it to help our ministry. Are you following me? You see, when God decides to help you, he will help you. Are you following me? That was the explosion. And so the next thing that happened was, by the following day, all the attention went down normally, because the guy didn't put it there. So I tried to reach that guy who's an admin on that page. Please, I'm begging you in the name of God. Once a week, let me be posting. This experience is good. Let me be posting once in a week. And the guy replied me. He said, Pastor, you don't need to beg me. You don't need an introduction. I'm one of your members, even though you don't know me. I used to come once. I said, okay. All right. So what's the next thing now? He said, I've added you already. So I was posting a portion of our link to our website on that page every day, and the traffic went overboard. So I published our devotional. In less than 1 hour, over 10,000 people have read. It was crazy. We had traffic. We had people calling from all over the world asking for counseling. Then we started having partners. We had people that would get blessed and send $1,000 for reading devotional. I said, eh? You see, it was a process. It was a process that began in 2007 of sacrificing. I remember the first newsletter we were going to make. We called these students we are pastoring. And he said, we need 12,000 naira. We want to publish newsletter. And some of them contributed 500, 200. And then we added money. And that's how it started. But God breathed upon it. Are you following me? Kisses are not slow today. My God. It was God that just breathed upon it all over the world. If I go out, I'm not exaggerating about this. If I go out today, let me say I just go to ShopRite or any public space, public place, I will see 2-3 people that walk up to me. Say, Pastor Dunamis, yes, oh, I was a member of your club. That happens every time. Every time. Are you following me? So this was 2010. Now go to the next slide. 2012, God said again, go back to Ibadan. At that time, I was getting confused. Leave Ibadan. Go back to Ibadan. What's going on? So I told my wife, I said, well, she just got a job on island at the time. And she had not even spent up to a year. And I told her, I said, God said, we should move to Ibadan. And you know what that means? You have to resign. I mean, this decision looks suicidal. I wasn't working, I wasn't pastoring, she has a job, and then you are saying resign. God said, I said, so our boss at work was counseling her. I don't know who sent him around. He said, no, you don't go like that, oh. No. You, Shevi is the one that got called. You allow him to go first. When he has proven his score, then you will not follow him. So my wife came to tell me, this is what he said. So I asked him, I said, number one, who is your husband between me? I said, we are going together as long as the Lord liveth. So we moved together. She had no choice to resign. And I think God honored her because we came to Lagos. I was online. I saw a managerial position at Mekio and I applied for her and they took her. There were about 10 people that were interviewed. Some of them had their masters in Harvard. Are you following me? On top of their CV, they were writing overqualified, until they chose her. Are you following me? That can only be God, alright? So, 2012, we moved back to Ibadan. Go to the next slide. 2014 to 2016, I came to Ibadan again. God, what should I do? I was very clear. Don't start church. Look for a place and worship. Okay, where should I worship? I don't know. We went to Redeem. We went all over the place. So one day we say, okay, Christ Chapel, let's just go there and worship. And so we're driving down. God spoke to me and said, when you get there will be a sign I will give you to let you know that that's where you're supposed to stay. When you get there, the pastor will give you a microphone. I laughed. I told my wife, I said, this is what God said. Well, I laughed. I laughed because I said, you see, you have preached. You see, it's been a long while you have preached. Somebody preaching 4 services before, and then in some years, he said, that's why. Preaching is itching your body. You now get to church. Somebody that does not know you now give you a microphone. So I should have told her. So we go to church. The pastor was preaching. I was sitting at the back. All of a sudden, he began to speak in tongues. Spoke in tongues for about 5-7 minutes. And then after it was through, he said, now I'm going to do exactly what I saw in my dream revelation this morning. I saw a man. And when I spoke in tongues in my revelation, I gave it to that man and he interpreted. And I can see that man over there. So can you come forward? And he gave me the microphone. And I interpreted the tongue. So the sign was confirmed. So that's why I stayed in that church. And I became an assistant pastor there in 2014. Move to the next slide. So it was while I was there that we published our first devotional. You know, we had something happen that doesn't usually happen in Nigeria. It was supernatural. Okay, because we were writing devotionals, people were reading all over the place. So some people started asking for hard copies. And I said, hard copies is going to cost a lot. I don't even have the funds to do that right now. So I said, okay, let me test it out. So I put on our devotional. I said, if you are interested in hard copy devotional, you will have to pre-order at 2,005 per copy. Before I knew it, over 500 people have pre-ordered. So we took the money to the printer and then we printed this devotional. It's 1,000 pages at 1,005 per copy. So that's how we published the devotional. Then move to the next slide. 2014, was when we visited orphanage. I have to mention this, because this is when I got to know Pastor Sylvester. He was always coming up and down for counseling then. The details of the counseling will tell you later, you know, by himself. This was at the orphanage. One of the orphanage we went, I think we went to four, was it four or five? Went to four orphanages that day. Our members contributed over ₦1 million on Kisses and Us Club. And we used it to buy a lot of stuff, and we divided, got a truck, and we moved around the city to about four orphanages and gave them. So this is Pastor Sylvester and somebody beside our. So he will tell you the story of this person later on. It won't come from my mouth. Praise God. Go to the next slide. This was Pastor Sophia. Those were the kids with us in one of the orphanages as well. Go to the next slide. This was 2016. Now, this is when Shouts of Grace Center began. We're in Christ Chapel. And Reverend Elekima Ekine will always tell me, Pastor Dunamis, what are you doing here? When are you going to start your church? She ain't leaving this out. You know, we had such a very good rapport. She ain't leaving me a law. And then I started having a lot of people call me from outside the country who are members of Kisses and Us Club. Say, Pastor, we had a dream. In that dream, you were pastoring. I said, okay, God has not spoken to me, be dreaming. So I had a couple of people say they had a dream, they had revelation. So in 2015, we just concluded camp meeting, went to an hotel for a retreat. During that retreat, God spoke to me, in December and January, you have to start your church. Now, I was going to argue it. Why? No fund. We just finished camp meeting where we fed everybody for 3 days, and we spent over close to ₦1.5 million on feeding alone. Our account was in red for Kisses and Us Club. And then I went to hotel just to thank God for a successful camp meeting and said, start church first Sunday in January. It didn't look, you see? The pictures will come on now. So I said, what is going on? So in January, between that December when God spoke to me, God caused money to come very, very supernaturally. So we rented a place on the road. Go to the next slide. Very small place that could seat like 80 people. Okay, let me read this before we see the pictures. Who art thou, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the elders thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto thee. That is where we got the name Shout of Grace Center. See, no. Go back. I'm not true. With shoutings, crying, grace unto you. Now move to the next slide. The second scripture God gave us before he started the church, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until he was a great host like the host of God. So this place is a place of help. Hallelujah. Go to the next slide. Next slide. Alright, okay, that was the small place. This was Sylvester. Sylvester joined us from the very beginning. This was Pastor Soji. He ran away to Baptist after a while. Go to the next slide. That's what our first drummer. Was this our first drummer? No, I think we had somebody. We had one guy. He's a soldier right now. So that was before Joshua came. Joshua was very humble in this place, as you can see. This is Daniel. Go to the next slide. Yeah, this is the auditorium. Small place. We rented this place for 1,250,000, and we tried to make it beautiful, put one AC there, just make it decent. This was 3rd of January 2016 when we had our first service. All right? Move to the next slide. Okay, this was the auditorium. Go back. This particular meeting was February, 1 month after we started church. We held a meeting. In that meeting, the place became too small. As in, it became too small for us. After 1 month. So we started looking for another place, but it was difficult. No place was available. So we kept on praying. Go to the next slide. This was in that same auditorium. That was Pastor Sophia talking. Go to the next slide. That was me. Go to the next slide. February 2016, yeah, that was what I was saying. The major program. Go to the next slide. Alright, so 2016, after we had a major program, no space, we started looking for a place. Few months after was when our agent who gave us that place called me. Because we have driven past this place this place was full of muddy water. It was just like, see the ground. Where the tent is, that is the way it looked like. There was nothing on it, but it was just muddy and everywhere. So we drove past, and I would tell my wife, I wish we can get space like this. And just put a tent. Anytime I want to say, look at this land that is just standing here. So we approached the management, they said, no, they are not giving out this place that is for parking. So we left them. No, go back. Don't jump. Why are you jumping? So now, the guy came to us all of a sudden and said, this place is now available. And they were going to measure at per square meter. Very crazy price. No, that wasn't what happened first. Was that what happened? No. We saw a place first. Before he came and showed this place, we saw a place in front of the road there. And we went to pay. It was 1.5 million. No, we paid 1 million for 1 year. Was it 1 million? I can't remember the amount, but I know it's 500,000 per year. So we were able to pay 2 or 3 years. I can't remember the exact figure. But when we paid, we exhausted every amount there. So we paid the place, and then the guy told us that we cannot put a permanent structure there, that we can only put something like a tent. I said, tent. So we went online. Check for tent. When I saw the price, I closed my laptop. 30 million, 35 million. I just closed the laptop. So I started talking to, I said, Sylvester, go and look for carpenter. Let's construct wood. We'll now paint it white. Tent, 35 million. Where are we going to start from? So now, 2 weeks after, we even started developing that place. We put Nepal, collected Nepal meter, and we're doing something. About 2-3 weeks after, that was what one of the guys I've pastored here. You see how this thing works. It's somebody I've pastored before in my former pastorate. You said? Yes, we are fasting. God spoke to us. Oh, it's good for you to hear this story. God's going to help you. God spoke to us and said we should fast, that he wants to open the heavens. We don't know for what. So we started fasting with no object in mind. So that place opened up. So after that, when we closed the issue of the tent, this guy called and said, that am I interested in getting a tent? Sorry, we'll be a little bit closer. We'll close a little bit late today. Just stay with me because of convention. This is convention, but I'll try and make it quick. But you need to hear the story. So he said, a pastor, his own pastor, was going to sell this particular tent for 8.5 million. That is cheap price, so that they got it for 19 million. It's worth 19 million. He's going to sell it for 8.5 million. I said, look, Oga, me, I don't have 8.5 million. In fact, the 1.5 million we had, we just paid for a land. What are we going to do? I said, can't the guy give it free? We are fasting, you know. He's free and believing God for. He laughed. He now did something. He said, I should wait. He called the guy and called me, put it on conference call. He said, I should not say a word. So I kept quiet. Because the guy knows me. I've preached for the guy once or twice. But we're not that close. So I can't go and tell him within tent, you know. So he called the guy and said, hello, there's this pastor of mine in Ibadan. He said he needs your tent too. He said, that's good. That he will send account number, that we should pay money. So he now told him. He said, the guy said he's believing God for free. So the pastor laughed. He said, free. He said, look. It was the guy's an evil guy. I said, look, I need money now. Because they were trying to buy another tent for 35 million naira. So he needed all the money. So he said, no, that they needed money. That no, there's nothing for free. He said, he now made this statement. God didn't tell me that. He said, God didn't tell me that. It's your pastor that God to. God didn't tell me that. So we left it. About a week after, he just called me and said, Pastor, no, before that happened, this guy that we got a land from, between that time and the issue of this one calling us, we went to him. No, that hasn't happened. He called me And then I said, yes, that they are already pulling down the tent in Lagos. That they are pulling it down. That if I don't pay today as he's speaking, that tent will be sold. That there are even people that are interested. So I said, okay. All right, tell him that we will pay instrumentally. That he should please send the account. We'll send 500,000. I shall go and look for 500,000 anywhere and send. So he now went to meet the guy. The guy now said, okay, they want the account. Okay, he now said, Pastor Dunamis, let him come and carry it. That was how we got this tent for free. This story I'm telling you will inspire your faith. That whatever God asks you to do, God will pull you through. He said, you come and carry it. I said, wow. So the guy that removed it was the one we used to install it here, eventually. So we brought the tent down. We're so happy. It cost us about 78,000 to bring that tent with truck. It was all these pieces. So we brought it down and, you know, gladly we took it to that place. I said, wow. Then the guy came to check our land and then he did like this. I was shaking it. I said, what's the problem? Let's do the costing. Let's start putting tent. He said, the tent is larger than the land. Ha. Tent is larger than the land. Bawo. God is not out of confusion. So he started making suggestions that we can reduce the tent. That we'll reduce the tent with 250,000. But whatever is reduced there will be condemned. I said, no, that can't be God. So between that time, we just put the tent there and we continue with our fasting. Rain was falling on the tent. We just closed the place. The tent cannot, we continue with our fasting. That was how this guy here, the other agent just called and said, this land though is now available. Shebi, I'm supposed to be happy. I was not happy. There's no money. All the money we've used it to rent. I was not happy because by the time they measured this place per square meter, they said for land alone, where there's mud and sand and all kind of things, 1.5 million per annum. And they don't want us to pay 5 years. So we first of all negotiated with them that we can only pay 1 year. So they agreed. Then the guy now called me by Wednesday. He said, by Friday, if I don't pay, somebody is coming from UK that will pay for this place. I said, eh? So I quickly went to meet the agent of this way. I said, Oga, we don't need your land again. We are so sorry. Can you please return our money? The guy laughed. He said, in 18 years as an agent, it has never been done. That we will wait for somebody else to take the place and then the landlord can consider if he wants to take the next place and then they can. I said, what? What am I going to do? And I'm not interested of taking any loan from anywhere. By the following day, that was how the landlord himself, not the agent, called me. He said, where are you now? I said, I'm in office. I need to see you. Meet me now. I said, actually, I'm in a meeting. He said, you don't understand. I want to pay your money back now. Eh? Meet me in Wema Bank. I said, which way? That was how he returned that money. That was how we paid for this place. And then after we paid for this place, we brought Reverend Kine, prayed over this place. And the following day, we were looking at our land. All the money we've collected, we used it to pay for here. The tent is there. We brought the tent material. We begged these people here. They are in this place where they are selling beer was still empty. We put our tents there. There's no money. The guy that was installed, when he did the calculation, is collecting 250,000 to install tent. Then we calculated all these things, all these tiles you see inside there, everything was close to 9 million naira. And we did not even have 900,000 naira, not at all 9 million. So, following day, the guy was in Ibadan. He said, if we are not ready, it's going back to Lagos. I said, we'll be ready now, relax. So what God did was, every amount of money we need was coming in as we needed it. A little at a time. By the time we're through, we spent over 9 million naira to move into this place. I remember at one particular day during the construction process, we needed 1 million naira for the next 2-3 days of what the work would do. And we didn't have 1 million naira. I got a call. I've gotten a call, I think a week previous. The guy called me. He said he got a scholarship. I know he got an admission, but I should pray for him. It's one of the members of Kings and Oscar, but I don't know him. So I should pray for him that if they give him scholarship, that the little money he has, that is not enough for school fees, is $1,000. That he will give it to us. I was not really happy. $1,000 was 160K then, which was far from 1 million we needed. I shall pray for him. Say, in Jesus' name, you shall get the scholarship. Lord God, Jesus. At least 160,000 will do something. So, by the time we did that 1 million, that was how I was driving out from a small place there, the church. I had reversed into the road. A lot came in. I checked it. I saw something like 0000. LA major 1 million. So I just drove back. So that somebody will not have an accident on the way. I just drove back and parked. Counted the zero very carefully. This is 1 million naira. I did not go again. I came down. Alright? But that was the first 1 million that will come, as a whole, not in tranches. And from that time on, that same God told us when he said, fast, I want to open the heavens. God literally opened the heavens. People were given. People I don't know from outside the country will say, and they just read that devotional $1,000. They just did this. One particular lady was sending £400 every week. I'm telling you, when God calls you to do something, you stay by it. Are you following me here? When God says, do this, obey. Without knowing where it's going to come from, you just obey. Money was just coming in. My Google AdSense, for no reason at that time, shut up. My Google AdSense, I was earning close to $900, $1,000 from my online blog at the time. So money was coming in from different sources of income. We were able to do a lot of things. Hallelujah. So this was when we started, and then we put the structure first. Go to the next slide. Let me round this up because our time is fast spent. Okay. You can see the mud everywhere. Everywhere is just dirty like that. At the back there, you see something we're building there. That was a toilet when we were constructing. We constructed that toilet with our 400,000. Go on. Okay. This was when they were screening the floor inside. This was inside the auditorium. Go on. This was when we're laying the tiles. The story of these tiles is another thing. The tiles cost us about 1.50 thousand naira. And we're supposed to put the tiles. There was no money, so I went to the person selling tiles. I told her God asked me to come, that you should give us tiles and we'll pay later. the woman looked at me like, show for good settling. He said, no, it's not possible. It's not going to be done. I said, God asked me to come. So I took it. I said, can I sit down? I sat down. I was with her for 5 hours. I didn't leave because I had God. God said, go there. She will give you the tiles. You pay later. I stayed with her. So eventually she gave us the tithes. And we paid her later. Are you following me? Go to the next slide. So 2015 was our first anniversary. And go to the next slide. That was ushers. The light could post a lot. That was ushers. Then go to the next slide. That was ladies and choir. Then go to the next slide. That was the guys. Go to the next slide. This was Reverend Victor during our first anniversary. He came. That was Reverend Ekine, pastor of Christ Chapel, where I served with, when they were blessing and praying for us. Go to the next slide. Next slide. Is that all? Okay, that was the auditorium then. I think that should be all. That's all. Alright, now look at the scripture. Say now. Well, this is the conclusion of it all. Today is Thanksgiving for our convention, and I want to close here so that we can do the remaining thing we need to do and go. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to what? Causes us to what? That in every situation you find yourself, let there be thanks unto God. Why? He will always cause us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Let me just stop here this morning. Today's our Thanksgiving. I've tried to summarize the story of Shouts of Grace Center, where we're coming from and how we got here. It's a story of help. It's not a story of loans. It's not a story of running around. It's not a story of running from pillar to post. It's not a story of begging. It's not a story of frustration. It's a story of the help of God. That is how Shouts of Grace Center began, the help of God. And it's an anointing that rests upon the church. And so if you connect with the house and the spirit of the house, in whatever you lay your hands to do, the help of God will be available for you. And that is what I'm praying. Because we talk about supernatural speed, divine acceleration. The only way that happens is when God decides to help you. Are you following me? God decides to help you. My God will help you in the name of Jesus. We had very strange help from people I don't know from Adam. And when they did it, they did not call to check. The guy that sent 1 million did not call. That Sherry Aberry. It's crazy. I went online to try and search for his name, the name with which he paid, so that I can send an acknowledgement and appreciate it. He did not reply. Very strange help of God helping. And as we step into this fourth year, this is what God told me. He said, we're going to see help like never before again. Yeah. That anointing is going to come afresh and rest upon us as a church and as individuals. I don't know which area where you need God's help. Which area of your life where it looks as if there's struggle, frustration, things are not moving, things have stopped for a while. Listen to me. Hear the voice of the Lord. You will see the help of God in the name of Jesus. God called me. I did not call myself. Listen to me. I did not call myself. I didn't get into pastoring because I thought it was fanciful or because I wanted to preach or because I love crowd. God called me when I didn't even know what it means to be called. Jesus appeared to me in a vision. It was a strong call. It was definite. It was vital. Every attempt to go into secular work, God would block it because of this call that he has committed to my hands. At the time when school was on strike, I went to look for a job in Lagos and I was employed. On the day I was to resume, in my vision, 3 dogs stood by the place I would pass to go and start work. Those dogs were ready to kill. I knew what it means. I got here because God called. There are those that went. There are those that are sent. I am sent of God. And I saw the help of God. As you are part of this house, may the help of God, like a sweet savour, may it flow over your life in the name of Jesus. That scripture in 2 Chronicles, it said, day by day, they came unto David to help him. And I declare over your life, as we step into this fourth year, you will see the help of God like never before. 4 is the number of balance. God will give you balance. God will establish your feet in the name of Jesus. For all those who have marriageable age and you are afraid, no money, I don't want to settle down. Listen to me, the help of God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60. He said, my sons and my daughters will come from afar. He said, their gold and their silver with them. In other words, there is a supernatural dimension to everything we are doing. There is labor, but there is also favor. Jesus told the disciples, go to the seaside and catch a fish. You will see money in the mouth. He has a treasurer and he has enough money. But he wanted to demonstrate to us that there are still fishes with money hooked in their mouth. May where your money is hiding, may it show up for you in the name of Jesus. Supernatural ideas. Ideas that will rule this generation. May God grant unto you in the name of Jesus. You will not suffer. You will not struggle. You will not be stranded. The God of Shout of Grace Center will help you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and everybody shout, amen. Let's be seated. God bless you.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joke Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.